It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening and welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Well, as you know, we're not only a news show, but news is certainly a strong part of our Sunday evening show. We do an all-Bible show on Saturday. And I've got to tell you, I came in here prepared for an opening monologue, at least as of yesterday morning. That's what my preparation was, to talk more about mumbling, bumbling, stumbling Biden. As you know, big elephant in the room that's already been eclipsed by the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. That monologue was put into my podcast. For those of you who follow my daily podcast, if you want to go listen to it, I said something very interesting at the end. I said, no matter who the Democrats run, even if Biden digs in his heels and doesn't leave, they are planning to win this thing one way or the other. They cheated in the last election. And for those of you who don't believe that the Democrats cheat, I'll prove it to you. They're trying to pass a bill right now. It passed in the House. It won't pass in the Senate. The Republicans want to pass a bill which says that you must prove citizenship to vote, and the Democrats don't want that passed. Now, what possible reason could they have if they don't believe in cheating? Oh, I know. They'll talk about racism and things like that. Look, you need ID to get into a hotel. You need ID to get on a plane. You need ID to buy liquor. Frankly, you need ID to get into the Democratic convention, and they're claiming that we're disenfranchising people. This is nonsense. They're proving right there that they want you, but they might decide not to certify the election. They might take it to court. They might claim martial law because we'll have some kind of terrorist attack and we could have one real easily with our open borders. They will stop at nothing. And that's what I said. I said, and there could even be a plan so devious that I'm not even thinking of it right now. Well, is that what we saw? Now, I know President Biden came out and gave a speech about how we need to tone down the rhetoric and strive for unity. This from the man who keeps saying that Trump is a threat to democracy. And even while he was giving this same speech, he says, I'm going to tone down the rhetoric, but I'm going to continue in my campaign to speak for the Constitution and democracy. Well, what's the inverse of that? Trump is not for the Constitution or democracy. There was some kind of breach with the Secret Service Department. It's being looked into. I'm not here to say what happened yet, but something really seems fishy. We at least have a right to ask questions. No conclusions yet. I'm certainly not the one to supply that information, but we certainly as American citizens have right to ask questions. And who better to join me in asking questions in the realm of politics, editorial writer for Epoch Times, Mike Friedenberg. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me. And yes, I'm good at asking questions. In fact, I'll just be asking questions nonstop tonight, but no answers or commentary.
Oh, that's right.
Or analysis.
You never supply any answers or information.
Or analysis. No analysis either. But with that said, I will mention a couple of things you just mentioned. Remember the whole hullabaloo? They pulled the Major League Baseball games out of Georgia because of their voter ID laws.
Yes.
And remember that they had the biggest turnout ever in the elections after they changed their... So that was shown to be wrong, that the voter ID... And African Americans, when surveyed, overwhelmingly support voter ID.
And a lot of them are overwhelmingly supporting Trump, but you don't hear that narrative from the mainstream media. Oh, by the way, even when Biden was calling for unity, he had to go out of his way to mention January 6th again.
Yes.
As an example of these things. Let's take the focus off of what happened, put it back on January 6th.
Exactly.
Again.
So obviously we know that President Trump was shot. And he was shot, and it reminds me of, I guess it was 1981,
When Ronald Reagan was shot?
Yes. Yeah, I was a sophomore.
By that guy that wanted to impress Jodie Foster.
Yes.
I'm sure that impressed her.
Going to University of California, Santa Barbara, sitting in the lunchroom my sophomore year, eating, and over the Muzak, they had very low, I heard something about President Reagan being shot. And I always remember that, and I'm always going to remember this, because I just sort of heard this as well. And I did visit the Reagan Museum up there, and it was like a .32 caliber, cheap, like $50 gun that almost killed President Reagan. And it came within half an inch. If it had been a half an inch more one way, it would have hit a major artery of the heart, and he would have been dead almost immediately. That's
this
how close it was.
The same thing with Trump. If it had been just a little bit
right,
closer,
so
if he hadn't turned his head.
Now,
at the right
he wasn't
time,
as seriously injured as President Reagan, but he came just as close to dying.
As they say on Monty Python, 'tis only a flesh wound.
Yeah, so it was a very serious thing. But before we dive into the whole shooting thing and all the issues surrounding it, I do want to talk about the person who died there.
Yeah, he was a hero. He jumped on top of his family to shield them.
Corey Comparatore, a volunteer firefighter. In fact, he was the chief of a volunteer firefighter force. Devout Christian. In fact, Allison's daughter called her father the best dad a girl could ever have, adding that he was a man of God, loved Jesus fiercely, and also looked after our church and our members as family. I mean, it's very sad, but
that
I'm glad to hear.
That is a true hero. And Biden, to his credit, did acknowledge him.
And he jumped in front, covered up the bodies of his daughter and his wife. And I want to just comment on that. I say that is the kind of behavior you should expect from men.
I agree. I believe men should be the protectors.
Men should be the protectors. Now, of course, if a mom's with her kids, then you expect her to do the same thing.
Well, it reminds me of that time a few years ago when somebody went in and shot up a theater when they were premiering the new Batman movie, and we heard that a lot of boyfriends were jumping on top of their girlfriends and dying for them.
So his first instinct was a good instinct, and I just want to comment to see that's not because his life is less valuable than that of his wife or his daughter, because they are equal value. They're absolutely equal value. It's just because positionally, and the way things are, however you want to look at it, men should be the protectors of society. And a society that does not have men as protectors is a society that's not long for this world.
I agree. And I want to say something about God as a protector, too, because I believe God protected Donald Trump and put his angels around him. However, it would be hard right now to be Trump and know that somebody was aiming for me and they shot and killed another person. That would be a hard thing to bear. I'm not saying it's his fault or that he should ever blame himself, but I can understand how that would make a person feel bad.
The one thing that's really, I found a good article in the National Catholic Register talking about him and his family, Corey Comparatore. They were going to be out in the regular audience. And right before Trump came on, they were offered a spot to sit behind him.
Right. That was a thrill to them.
That was a thrill. And if they had not been offered that.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that people have to grow up without their dad. But just imagine the kind of dad they're going to grow up knowing that they had. That alone could just put them ahead in life.
They'd sure rather have their dad, I'm sure. There's no comparison.
They'd much rather have their dad. But growing up knowing that their dad gave his life for them, what an example. Just that act alone did a lot for the way his children were going to develop later in life.
And then a couple other people, David Dutch, 57, and James Copenhaver, 74. They were both injured seriously, but they're stable. So they look like they're going to survive. So we can talk a bit about it. I mean, they've been playing over the footage over and over again. And the thing that's become very clear, I think it's very important. It's a couple things. One is the guy that did the shooting, Thomas Matthew Crooks. I mean, he was on a building just 150 yards away from the rally.
This is something that nobody can explain. Nobody.
Nobody can explain.
There were people that were in the audience that saw him before the police did.
And it's now been reported by multiple sources that a local police officer was informed by a Trump rally goer. He went up there, climbed to the ladder,
and
stuck his head over.
Yeah.
And then when the guy pointed the gun at him, he backed down and went back down. And that gave the guy a chance to fire. However, I don't know what to say about the local police officer exactly. Because if the guy turned around with a scope on his rifle and is pointing at you, you're probably not going to survive.
We should reserve judgment.
Reserve judgment. But he at least probably hurried the guy a little bit. The fact that he even went up there.
Yeah, I had heard that. And so the guy didn't get as good of a shot as he was originally planning because he had to do it in haste.
I'm conjecturing that, but I'm just thinking he had to feel more hurried now that he'd been identified.
But just for people in the audience to see him before the police and Secret Service, how is that explained?
And there's no way that roof of that building should not have been covered, either a Secret Service man on that building with a sniper position or a sniper fully covering that building. Dan Bongino, I heard him speak on this.
And I heard him too, and he says he knows a lot of people that are currently agents that are very upset.
There was a major, major breakdown. I believe that Kimberly Cheadle, the Secret Service head, she should probably resign. This is that major a breakdown. And the reason I'm going
to
say this,
to be honest, I'll be surprised if that happens. However, I agree with you. She should resign.
And the reason I'm going to say this now, she had a 27-year background in being a Secret Service agent and also training Secret Service agents. She had worked in a different job previous being asked to be the head of the Secret Service by Biden. But what she did immediately come in is just go hog wild on the DEI agenda, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, her goal was to get 30% women in there. That was the most important thing. I think that when you have that kind of mindset, you take your eye off the ball.
Okay. And hold that thought, Mike. Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, talking about that horrible shooting. Obviously, our prayers go out to the families of the three people that were injured, one who died, a hero. The other two did go from critical condition to stable condition. The last I heard, we're very grateful for that. We're also very grateful that President Trump has survived. Mike, you were talking about the DEI agenda of the woman who's currently in charge of the Secret Service.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to have 30% of the agents being female by 2030. And basically, we have seen DEI implemented everywhere, in the military, in every agency.
They know more about learning their pronouns and how to fight a war.
And every place it has been, it has a corrosive effect. And I believe that's the case in the Secret Service. 39 Secret Service agents signed a petition complaining about the lack of training. What they're saying is that people are being advanced and being put into positions based upon meeting DEI criteria, diversity, equity, inclusion. So I don't have much more to say, but I'm going to say this. You know, Trump is 6'2", 6'3". They had three women on that detail. When your job is to jump in front of somebody and put your body in front of somebody, you want somebody that's a bigger person. I'm just going to say that.
And
that's
if the woman is tall enough and qualified, that's fine, but you don't put her in just because she's a woman.
Right.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, we saw some images from Donald Trump. He is a fighter. He's a tough guy. But I will say this.
Oh, that iconic image of him lifting up his,
however,
his fist.
I'm looking at those images. There had been a second shooter. Donald Trump separates himself away from the super.
He wanted people to know he was okay.
He separates himself out there and he puts himself in the clear line of fire for another shooter.
It's a moment that will be just stained in the annals.
It'll be stained in history. But what should have happened, I've heard other Secret Service agents talk, they should have completely swamped him. He should not have been able to raise his fist and do that iconic moment.
That's true. It speaks to his heroism, but maybe it doesn't speak to
him completely doing the job. And it makes me think about a number of things. One is, we still have this model where the Secret Service agents jump on the protectee to protect them with their bodies. Why not pull out some polycarbonate shields that have three or four agents and raise some barriers around them right away? And that brings up another thing I'm going to bring up here. Is in 1987, when Ronald Reagan went to the wall and said, tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev, he had a bulletproof shield in front of them. Donald Trump, when he spoke in January 6th, had a bulletproof shield in front of him. All the presidential, you know, when they're speaking now, they have bulletproof shields in front of them, around them, and barriers. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. I think that right now, Donald Trump needs to, when he does these rallies going forward, he needs to have that kind of protection.
Yeah, and some of the blowback I'm hearing so far is that you get more Secret Service protection if you're obviously the president, and they'll give some to candidates, and the Secret Service is defending themselves by saying, well, we gave them the amount that we give candidates, but there have been so many threats on Trump's life, and when the other side is calling him Hitler every other day, it should occur to you that some deranged lunatics are going to say, well, maybe I'll save the world from Hitler and become a hero. So I think they were within their bounds to ask for extra protection, which I heard they did, but now it's being denied that they asked for it or denied that they weren't given it. So we're hearing a lot from both sides. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Regardless, I don't care what level of protection he gets versus Biden.
You can't explain that building.
That building, 150 yards out, there is absolutely, positively no excuse. That is a major mess and incompetency on a level. And even them getting Trump away after the shooting started was not really all that great either. So there was major levels of incompetency. And once I go back to Kimberly Cheadle again, she is the top of the person. You know, we had
so far she's refused to speak or talk to
anybody. We've had a complete and utter disaster in Afghanistan. Not one person lost their job over that. A historic mess up on how we withdrew from Afghanistan. A debacle. Embarrassing. There should have been generals fired, but nobody. Nobody was canned for that. And here we have a debacle on something like this. And he's not only a candidate, he is the candidate right now that is overwhelmingly predicted to win the election. So we're talking about the future president. You should be protecting him. And then let's go back to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
They wouldn't give him any Secret Service.
They wouldn't give him any Secret Service there. So yet this all is looking very politicized to me at this point. A lot of this stuff there. And what we saw with the Obama administration, I'm sure Biden has continued. They politicized the Department of Justice. They politicized everything. And this DEI thing is a cancer in every part of the government. And the Secret Service has been horribly affected. So
And on top of that, this lady, she wasn't wanting any Secret Service people to wear red ties because it could be confused for the MAGA movement. On Mar-a-Lago, Trump asked for extra Secret Service protection on his property. She said, I don't send Secret Service agents out to nightclubs. This woman sounds like she's had it in for Trump.
Yeah, no, it does. Okay. We don't know what really happened. We do know that there was a major mess up. Whether it was just utter gross incompetence or something more nefarious, we don't know.
Or both.
Or could be both there. Yeah. But
something was wrong.
Yeah. So this person, this Kimberly Cheadle, she should be asked to resign. This is not some ex-military sniper sitting with 50 caliber sniper rifle
Mike,
from 1,000 yards out.
Can you imagine the Biden administration asking a woman to step down?
I don't know.
He's already come out and said, now we don't want to be judgmental. We're looking into this. Let's not jump to any conclusions. I think that's all a preamble to the fact that they're really not going to do anything.
This is a shot that somebody that's done some practice and some training and that they're given the time, they can make that shot, 150 yards. We're not talking American sniper situation here. I think that he was hurried. I believe he was hurried. I believe that, as you were saying, I believe that angels, potentially God protected him. And I know you believing that Trump's been protected by God from back in 2016.
I do, and I've been praying every day. I've seen Trump, no matter what they throw at him, he rises out of the ashes like a phoenix. So in some ways, this does not surprise me, but I'm very grateful, obviously.
So we talk about this hostile environment and Biden hypocritically asking for us to tone it down. Well, he's the one that even in the debate, he continued to repeat the lie.
He said that Trump praised Hitler. That was
the downright lie in the middle of the debate. And then he also the Charleston thing where he
was
talking.
Which was a lie.
And he continued with that lie that, you know, so you have.
And it's the lie. He says that's the whole reason that he came into the. And he also says he wished he could take Trump behind the gym and punch him out. And this guy's going to lecture us about toning down the rhetoric?
To me, that rhetoric.
It's laughable, but it's not toned down rhetoric.
No, but that's a while ago. Right now, what the narrative is that you have a convicted felon who is
an existential threat to democracy, who's going to be another Hitler.
His thumbing his nose at the rule of law, who's an existential threat to democracy, who praises neo-Nazis, who's a racist. And then you're wondering why you have some crazy, mentally unstable people out there that might be doing something. Now, I believe.
And we're not supposed to say, wait a minute, this guy was already in power. Who lost their civil liberties? Who was refused democracy? Who was refused the opportunity
There's
to
nothing,
vote?
But they
Who
just
was
say,
locked up in jail for being a political prisoner?
No.
Nothing like that happens. We've already seen what a Trump presidency would be like.
Yes. So people are getting desperate on the left right now. They're getting very desperate. I mean, everything they have tried now to take down Trump has failed. They had the January 6th narrative, and that, frankly, probably did hurt the midterm elections to some degree. And there's some people that still believe it, but that started to fall apart. All the revelations he had asked for the National Guard to be out there, all those things are being shown. And then the new footage, this footage that the January 6th committee tried to hide coming out and showing just what lies it was. So that narrative is dying. So they don't have that. That's a dying narrative. Biden's still trying to push it because he's got something else, but it's not a narrative that's going to win in the race. Then they have the whole lawfare thing. That has failed. And I'm going to say this. I believe that Biden was in there, that they were keeping Biden in there. They knew Biden. I mean, this idea that everybody's shocked about his declining mental faculties, baloney. All these actors coming out, all the media people, all the people
in
government knew.
They haven't had a cabinet meeting for 9 months.
Yes.
Just obviously, people knew a lot.
People have known for years that he's mentally not competent to be the president. It was only, I think that maybe the debate, we've talked about this before, that having the debate that early, gave them a shot to try to get him out. And having the fair CNN moderators really exposed him and showed just how far things had gone. And now they're trying to get him out. They may not be able to do that, but they're desperate. They were counting on the lawfare to work. And then if the lawfare had worked, they would have been happy with Biden, because who cares? You know, you let him get him through the election cycle, then you eventually Kamala.
The Supreme Court passed that decision about the immunity.
Right. But all the lawfare stuff has failed. And then we have the Biden campaign is just in general, it's not good.
Well, how are they going to tone down the rhetoric when their whole campaign is the rhetoric? Trump is Hitler. That's right. Their campaign. Trump's against democracy. Well, that's their campaign.
But they could run on Bidenomics.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They could run on Joe's Cracker Jack record.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
And his strong position.
His stellar performance as the leader of the free world.
As the leader
world.
Of the free world,
yes.
Right? They could run on that. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is the high-level people, the big money people, the George Soros and other people out there, they also know that their ability to cheat is not unlimited. So all these things are adding up to make them very, very freaked out. And they know that somehow Trump has to be stopped. So we can talk about this when we get back, but there's a couple different ways to look at this.
Well, we will talk about that when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So I was starting to get into this. I think that the left wing is desperate. The big money people, the deep state people, the global people that want no borders, they just want to make their profits. You know, that's what they're focused on. All these people are pretty desperate. And then there's just the crazies out. There's the crazies out there that you see them at the rallies. And I mean, I'm going to say this. You look at them and they scare me. Their faces are contorted with rage and hatred. On some of the stuff there, really, you see that. And even the global warming people. People are frightened about global warming. And here's Trump coming in, promising to reverse the agenda.
Some people are frightened by it. Some politicians just see it as another way to control our
lives. I don't know what the percentages are, but they've done surveys, and they've shown that young people, you know, 35, 40 and under, are terrified, legitimately terrified. It's up there high on their list. Some of them are not having families because they don't believe there'll be a world to go into. So going back to what I said before, I believe that President Trump and his team should insist on barriers now. Also, I don't think that they should just be completely relying on the Secret Service for security. Something that comes to my mind.
Hire some of their own security.
Somebody like a Dan Bongino.
Yeah, boy, I'd take one of him as opposed to 10 of the other guys.
Yeah, somebody like that. And then you do some things, some proactive things there like that, just because you don't know. We don't know. I don't want to say that there's some big conspiracy, but Listen, the stakes are really high.
Well, we don't have to imagine a conspiracy. I just listen to what everybody says about Trump and how important it is to take him out. They're telling us what they plan to do. They really are.
And it doesn't have to be. It could be just some crazy person just out of their mind with fear and rage. So I think that they need to do some of these kind of steps there to protect Donald Trump. Really need to do it now. Something that was in National Pulse, I think it was today or yesterday, but Raheem Kassim, the editor-in-chief there, he came up with an interesting idea. He came up with an October surprise. The new October surprise is going to be?
He's going to guess what it will be?
Is that Biden dies in office. I don't know how he dies, but he dies in office. That's his October surprise. His thinking on that is that
if he gets too close to Hillary and the Clintons, I'm not sure I'd be too surprised.
What he did is he used an example of Barry Goldwater running against Lyndon Johnson in 1964 after John F. Kennedy was killed.
Is part of the October surprise to blame it on a Trump supporter?
And
then declare martial law?
Well, it could be that. I mean, there's a number of variants there, but the point was that Lyndon Johnson, with John F. Kennedy dying the way he did, Lyndon Johnson, he got a lot of sympathy vote. We're going to continue the legacy type vote right there. So here we have Kamala Harris, right? And Biden dying in office. Who knows? A heart attack or a stroke or who knows? But maybe it's a false flag operation.
You know, they could just tell Joe that he already served his last 4 years and he would believe them and step down voluntarily.
Well, if that would work, but his wife would probably let him know he did.
Yeah, they'd have to convince his wife to go along with it.
You already suggested the idea, something like a false flag operation. You know, attribute to his death somebody associated with the Trump campaign or the MAGA movement.
Exactly.
And I mean, now that might not be enough to do it, but that would be a huge, that could shift some votes. That could shift some sentiment.
Or cause them to declare martial law on the evil MAGA movement that's trying to overthrow democracy.
Well, he brought that up and I thought it was an interesting scenario. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen.
All I know is they're going to pull something out of their sleeves. I can't say I know what it will be. All of these sound plausible to me. They will do something.
If Trump
wins this election, which I think he will, if it's fair, they are going to pull something out of their hats.
Speaking of something out of their hat, here in San Diego, UCSD just started forcing its employees to start masking again of the uptick in COVID-19.
Oh, wonderful. Just wonderful.
But it just goes to show you how much things have changed since COVID-19 and what's now acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Well, some people believe that the whole COVID-19 scare was a dress rehearsal for the Green New Deal because they were testing how easily people will lay down their rights and fold our republic for the sake of being safe.
So, I mean, I don't know. So it's interesting. They saw that people pretty much just rolled over and let the government do what they wanted
to do. So they did. Why wouldn't they try it again?
Conservatives and Republicans.
Yeah.
It was across the board.
Although the conservatives and Republicans in red states started moving away from it sooner.
They eventually started pushing back. They did. But initially, they managed to get a lot of stuff done and through.
Christine Noem in South Dakota, I think, was the best of all the states in the way she dealt with COVID.
She dealt with it well. Been hearing about the bird flu?
I have.
30%, 30, 40% lethality rate.
Are we supposed to believe that?
Well, then, no, it is. It's very lethal, but it's not very transmissible. But they also revealed right now that they have people figuring out ways to make it more human transmissible so that if it ever does become human transmissible, that they could fight it, just like they did with COVID-19.
Sounds like the kind of stuff that Fauci was okaying before.
I mean,
are we going to have to listen to Fauci again for another year?
Oh, no, he's gone. We'll hear somebody else, but it won't be Fauci.
I think we should wear two masks.
So I don't know what the October surprise is, but basically these people are not ethical people. They're not moral people.
We know they're going to pull something.
They're going to pull something.
We don't have to know what it will be. They will try something. They are not planning on giving this presidency over to Donald Trump.
Right.
They're not.
They're going to.
It's not in their DNA.
And the stakes are so high because we have a couple Supreme Court justices, Republican judges, that probably can't make it through another term of a Democrat. And they also want to replace those judges.
Well, also, if the Democrats hold on to the Senate, they want to start stacking the court, so it's not even going to matter. They'll just make sure they get enough Democrat.
So if Trump gets in there, their agenda, they were furious when Trump won in 2016 because they had it all planned out.
Well, they were cheating in that one too, but he won by such an overwhelming margin it was breaking some of their machines and algorithms.
To do as well as he did in the swing states. So they were ready
the second time.
And in the second time they were almost overwhelmed once again. They barely 40,000 votes.
Well, speaking just for myself, Mike, I think six states suddenly stopping counting at 12 midnight all at the same time with Trump ahead and then Biden being ahead the next morning, I think that was just a coincidence.
Trump is ahead in all those states. We have better, it's not perfect, but we have better voter integrity provisions in place than we had in 2022 and 2020.
But there is one state that just passed again that they can leave these voting boxes out on the streets.
Wisconsin.
Was that Wisconsin?
That was Wisconsin, because what happened is the original Supreme Court had ruled that they were unconstitutional and they did not fit state law. Then they ran a rather poor candidate to run for state Supreme Court. We did, the Republicans. They lost to a Democrat. And then when she got on the Supreme Court, they just went ahead and reversed it.
Great.
That was shifted to reverse. So I will say that we don't know what's going to happen. We know they're not going to give up. I just believe that the president, I'm sure there's people thinking this way, that he needs to, and I'm sure they've been involved with the security too. They probably have to up the level of it. This shows that they do. He's a macho guy. He doesn't want to cower behind a bulletproof glass probably, but I'm counting on you, President Trump. Please get behind that bulletproof glass. Please.
The way you shout, Trump, we can hear you just as clearly behind the glass.
Please, Mr. President. We need you. I know you're a tough guy. You don't have to convince me of that. Hey, Ray was a tough guy.
Our Secret Service agents. We got some very fine people here. Very fine people.
Reagan was a tough guy. He got behind bulletproof glass. So if Reagan do it, hey, President Trump, you can do it too, okay? So there's going to be new stuff coming out. There's going to be revelations. There's going to be people trying to cover their butts, cover their asses. CYA, right? CYA's type behaviors on this. But no matter what is said, no way should this have happened. And somebody should be paying the price. Now,
I don't know how they slice and dice this one. It's just,
they may do a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, some low-level person.
Some low-level person.
Will pay for it.
But the
right.
bottom line is, when you have something this major happens, you really should have accountability at the top. I believe there should be accountability at the top.
Yeah, but I cannot for the life of me imagine the Biden administration doing that.
So we'll probably be able to talk about this next time we get together and we'll know more. But as of right now, I'm just very thankful that President Trump is okay. I'm very sad about the loss of that firefighter and the other people
and
injured.
What a hero. Our hats go off to this.
And I predict that in the next couple of days, we'll get over the Democrats having to pretend that they care and be nice. That'll be gone within 2 days.
Oh, yeah. For a couple of days, they said they're pulling their ads about Trump, but it'll be back. Of course it'll be back. They have nothing else to run on.
The only thing they can run on is attacking him ad hominem arguments.
They don't dare talk about their policies because people will say, what policies?
I mean, just think about how powerful the border issue and illegal immigration is. I mean, it's just...
Well, and the crime issue and the defunding the police issue and what's going on in Israel and what's going on all over the world.
Ukraine.
We have a weakling, feckless president. Everybody knows about it. No. He's an embarrassment. But his wife gets to be on the cover of Vogue magazine, so she thinks Joe's... And I love how, after that debate, they read a rally right afterwards. She's telling him what a good job he did. Like, good boy, Joe. You answered every single question. Good boy.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. So talk a little bit about one of the attacks that we've been seeing on President Trump lately, his supposed association with Project 2025.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit about
that. Well, that is a project put together, coordinated by the Heritage Foundation. What they did is they worked with 100 different conservative organizations, fiscally conservative organizations, pro-business, pro-technology organizations, pro-family organizations, things of that nature, traditional family values, 100 of them. And I read through all of them. And I'm just going to go through and name a few of them so you see what you recognize. But these are the groups they put together. By the way, they came up with a 900-page paper. And I did not read all 900 pages, but I did go through it and look some of the highlights. What I did is I converted it from a PDF into a Word doc so I could count how many times certain types of terms show up just to get a sense of it. But I'll cover that in a second. But anyway, so the Center for Renewing America, the Conservative Partnership Institute, American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, Alliance Defending Freedom, you have heard of them. The American Main Street Initiative, the American Legislative Exchange Council. These are all major organizations. The Claremont Institute, Concerned Women of America, Family Research Council. So these are all really great organizations. And the Hillsdale College. So it looks like a very good group. And what I'm going to say is that Trump he sort of distanced himself from Project 2025. Saying, hey, I'm not following that. Well, it's 900 pages. So that's the smart thing. He has to do that. He can't say he supports everything here because they even have some competing initiatives here because they could not get agreement on everything. So if he said, I buy into Project 2025, they could go into 900 pages and pull everything out of context. And you'll have that, running against him. So he's smart to do it. But I can guarantee you that prior to 2025 will play a part in how he gets his administration going.
So you think he'll at least adopt some of it or
I believe, and one of the most important things they're doing is they're creating a database right now that you could apply for and put your resume in, and they're starting to vet people to be part of his administration.
Well, I hope he goes in there and everybody under the purview of the executive branch, he just fires all the way down to the guy that takes out the waste baskets. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No. Actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So I was just saying, I'm actually quite impressed so far with what I've seen from Project 2025. I think it's really useful. I think it's smart. The people involved seem to be very good, excellent, anywhere from academics to people that have practical experience. It seems like a very good effort.
Well, he's a quick study. I hope he remembers that his cabinet didn't have his back and the agencies didn't have his back and his own Justice Department didn't have his back. He needs to go in there and clean house in a lot of ways.
And promotional videos they do on it, their overall goal is to rein in the administrative state, the deep state, really. So I'd like that. That's a great goal.
Well, we have to if our country's going to have any future.
But there's four major pillars in it, and I'm going to just quickly cover them. Pillar one, it's an effort to develop a consensus view how major federal agencies should be governed. When disagreement exists and no consensus could be reached on how to do this, they did lay out different paths. So in other words, Trump could look at a path, and then he would have go down the path, and there'd be step by step how to go down this path. Because there's so many organizations, they could not get consensus on every single thing. But if they didn't, he can still look at four or five different paths and see, hey, this is the one that fits where he's coming from, and still have a template to go down that path. So I think that's very smart. Pillar two, it's a personnel database that allows candidates to build their own professional profile that will be reviewed by the Project 2025 teams, and then they'll make recommendations alongside the profiles to say, hey, this person looks good. Because, you know, you have thousands of positions to fill, and having this database there is a brilliant idea. I think it's a great idea. Pillar three, this is the Presidential Administration Academy, and that's going to be basically online education to educate people how to work in government, how to be part of the federal government, being a federal government employee 101, what you have to look for, some of the things you have to do. And that's for people that are just coming in, but for senior people, they're going to have online in-person classes as well to train them. So very good proactive there. And then the pillar four is the playbook, and that's forming agency teams and drafting transition plans to move out upon the president's utterance of so help me God. So when the president utters, so help me God, this team will hit the ground running, so that they have a very detailed plans for the first 180 days. Just, that's what you need to do. Margaret Thatcher did something similar to that when she first took office in Britain. She had a shadow cabinet that was ready to go. They've been working together for months and months and months, ready to the ground running. So that's what you need to do. So it's 900 pages long, and Trump absolutely positively should not be endorsing this right now. He doesn't need to do that. His policy people...
Because the other side is demonizing it.
Well, they're demonizing it. And, you know, 900-page document, I could go in there, pull out something, anything I want, out of context, and use it. So you don't want to endorse a 900-page document. But when he gets in office, I do believe that this will be part of it. I did do some search on some terms. I searched the term woke, and it's specifically mentioned 19 times in the document. And here's a statement from the paper. Owing to the combination of regulatory pressure and eager human resources offices in the private sector, much of American labor and employment policy has become institutionally oriented toward woke goals. Retracting regulations that support this woke revolution is a good first step, but more is needed. We must replace woke nonsense with a healthy vision of the role labor policy plays in our society, starting with the American family.
That's in the document. Sounds good to me, but those are fighting words for the left.
Yeah, radical is called out 46 times. The Inflation Reduction Act contains a radical $80 billion expansion of the IRS, enough to double the size of its workforce. Unless Congress reverses this policy, the IRS will become much more intrusive and pose still greater costs on the American people. LGBT, it's mentioned 12 times. In Africa, Skinner writes, U.S. should focus on core security, economic, and human rights rather than impose radical abortion and pro-LGBT initiatives. So they're talking about how we're using our influence around the world, pro-LGBT agenda, right, versus just helping people get better economically.
Now, on that issue, Trump has been really good about how men shouldn't be calling themselves women and running on their track teams, but he does vocally support same-sex marriage.
He does.
It disappoints me. It's not going to keep me from voting for him,
right,
but it does disappoint me.
Transgender is referenced 12 times. Reverse policies that allow transgender individuals to serve in the military. Gender dysphoria is incompatible with the demands of military service, and the use of public monies for transgender surgeries or to facilitate abortion for service members should be ended. That's right in the document. Corruption is referenced 21 times. The manifest failure and corruption of the World Health Organization during the COVID-19 pandemic is an example of the danger that international organizations pose to U.S. citizens' interests. That's a nice statement, right? And then diversity, equity, inclusion is referenced 38 times. Even though numerous federal laws prohibited discrimination based on notable immutable characteristics such as race and sex, the Biden administration through the DOJ's Civil Rights Division and other federal entities has enshrined affirmative discrimination in all aspects of its operations under the guise of equity. Federal agencies and their components have established so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion DE offices that have become the vehicles for this unlawful discrimination, and all departments and agencies have created equity plans to carry out these invidious schemes. Invidious. To reverse this trend, the next conservative administration should, and they laced out some things there. So they're calling it invidious. So I will just say is that I think Project 2025 looks like it's very good. It has lots of potential. It shows that people are taking seriously just how important this next administration is. I've not seen something this detailed before that I can remember, especially with that database and starting to vet people for the administrative positions. I think it's very promising. And the people there, they're all very credible people. I mean, of course, the left is going to go after them, but it's not a fringe operation. The Heritage Foundation is a very mainstream think tank, and I like them. I'll say my one complaint about them is they're not very good on the military-industrial complex. I'll just say that. Their answer to solving our military problems is spending more money. So that's one of their weaknesses. But I'm sure that some of the organizations they're working with don't have that perspective. There's 100 of them. I think that we're really well positioned for the election from a legal perspective, anything that we can do legally, and they have a better team now at the RNC that's working on election integrity issues. They're hiring 100,000 people, including attorneys. They've got 22-3 lawsuits.
But they better not break out COVID again so that people can't stand within distance to watch the polls. They used COVID. They exploited it so much.
I think that they would have a hard time doing that this time around. I think people have really hardened on that, and that few people feel duped by it. I feel duped. I was very skeptical, but I was not skeptical enough. I could not believe just how far they would go and how much they would lie.
Yeah, I didn't like the fact that everybody was obeying Fauci, but I at least thought the guy was sincere. It turns out he's a downright crook and a liar.
No, they lied about stuff. They lied about hydroxychloroquine. They lied about
anything Trump was
ivermectin
for, they were against. Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be very hard for them to do the same things they did in 2020. And with President Biden, oh, by the way, I will suggest this. Pray that President Biden is the candidate, because he is our best shot to really just have a red wave that we should have had in 2022.
Well, I think Kamala Harris would be a pretty good shot, too. She's as dumb as he is.
Well, yes, probably. And it does look, from a mechanics and a legal perspective, she's the one that would most likely take over from Joe Biden. All these other candidates are very hard to do. Even with them having liberal judges in their back pocket, it's very hard to get anybody else other than... So it might be Kamala. If it's not Joe Biden, then I think the odds go to Kamala Harris there. So, I mean,
and she polls even lower than he does.
She does poll even lower. They could probably package her up in a way to get the polling up a little better. I think that in the end, she probably could do a little better against Trump, but I don't think she could win. I do think that one of the things we need to do is just right now, and I've said this, I think the last few shows I've been on, is we need to be going after Democrat policies. I saw an article saying, and this election is going to be about a referendum on Joe Biden. No, this election is not a referendum on Joe Biden. It's a referendum on all the policies Biden has put in place.
These aren't his policies. It's the people pulling his strings that have put these. And if they get rid of him, the next person is
going to
have
the policies have been 100% supported by...
They will be supported by anybody. If it's Michelle Obama, anybody, they will be the same policy.
They've opposed, 100% opposed, any real border control in the House of Representatives and at the Senate. So we need to, you know, we need to be just really emphasizing these are Democrat policies, because we don't know. I think Biden may still, well, what do you think, Bob? Do you think Biden can survive?
Survive physically or survive the election?
Can he survive to stay as the candidate for the
Trump? Think he could. I really think it could go either way. I'm more inclined to believe that they want to get rid of him. The Clintons and the Obamas want him out, and they're such a powerful machine. I can't imagine the fact that his wife wants to be on another cover of Vogue is enough to get in the way, or that Hunter being afraid of the legalities should his dad's not there to protect him will get in the way. So I think they're going to get rid of him. But honestly, Mike, I really believe anything can happen. I'm making no definitive prediction.
Yeah, but it's so hard. It really is not easy to do at this point. And with the Republican convention starting, and this assassination attempt has taken the focus off of Biden.
Everyone's talking about how presidential he looks now.
Right.
And notice how they took a shot of him meeting with his cabinet, because we had just heard the news that the cabinet hasn't met
for 9 months. So this probably, in a strange way, it really does hurt him, because it does help Trump. But in one way, in terms of just keeping Biden as the candidate, you could argue that so far it may have sort of helped him a bit.
Yeah, I think the phrase "he looks presidential" should be retired. I have no use for that phrase. It's meaningless. Anyway, Mike, always good having you on the show. We'll have you back again real soon. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.